way in here, pardon our dust. Can I get an approval of the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes of the April 19th, 2022 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public hearing, restaurant liquor license application, The Wild Rose Tea Room, LLC DBA, The Wild Rose Tea Room. Any public comment? Public comment. Public comment. Hearing none. Public hearing is closed. With no unfinished business, can I get a motion to approve the restaurant liquor license application, The Wild Rose Tea Room, LLC DBA, Buffalo Building, located at 71 North Main Street?
Move to approve the restaurant liquor license application for The Wild Rose Tea Room, LLC, building located at 71 North Main Street.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion?
I don't have a problem with approving this. I mean, all the paperwork's in order, and I know the rules have changed, and I know this came up with a new license three weeks ago. We had discussed about, you know, sitting down with the liquor division. Looking through their paperwork, I don't have a problem with approving this, but I would like to, I don't know if I could add on to that motion or what have you, or suggest a moratorium on new liquor license until we can actually sit down with the liquor division to say, to kind of get our heads around all these changes till we understand them.
Would you like to change your motion to add a moratorium?
I'm good.
Good.
Okay. What was that? No?
That's fine. I mean, you can amend it if you want. And I don't have a problem
with adding a moratorium.
I don't know what that has to do with this specific liquor license, which is what this approval is.
I'd recommend just a separate motion afterwards if you would like.
That would be just fine. I just put it in there because there's none of the spot on there that fits in it.
Jeff, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Well, do I need to make a separate motion then?
Madam Clerk?
Yes. If you want to do it, yeah.
Okay, make a motion to put a moratorium on any new liquor license from the City of Buffalo until we're able to sit down or have a conference call with the Liquor Division to understand the new laws that were approved last year that changed what is and is not a restaurant.
I'll second that. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. 1% committee recommendations.
Mayor, Council, Madam, Travis Lawrence, 1% committee, city appointment. So our 1% committee met, was it last week, I think, to come up with the recommendations, and I believe you have a summary of those included with your council packet, hopefully. And I'll just kind of go over these one by one, let you know the thoughts, and then if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Compass, they requested $25,000, we're recommending $15,000. Yeah, and the Buffalo Children's Center wanted some upgrades to their playground area, requested $20,000, we're recommending $15,000. Sheridan College, I moved up $1,913, which I thought was the kind of a plug figure that was down under the pickleball. And the thought process, you'll see those are kind of some funky numbers. for that, for both the county and the city. And kind of the logic behind that was, is that this rent was just going back to your joint powers board. And so the 1% committee felt like if you wanted to give Sheridan College the rent in the joint powers board building, that you should just increase the joint powers board budget and how much you fund them. We just felt like that would be more transparent. The Boys and Girls Club requested $30,000, we're recommending $15,000. The Buffalo Golf Course requested $20,000, we're recommending $15,000 on that. The YMCA requested $45,161, we're recommending $45,000. And kind of the logic behind those last two requests with the golf course and the YMCA, and really any of these requests that came in front of the 1% committee, whether it's a county-owned facility or a city-owned facility, you know, if those dollars were dedicated towards taking care of that facility or a need, we felt like that was important to take care of the city assets. So we tried to fund those as close as we could. St. Francis Animal Shelter, they had two requests, $3,500 for vaccines, which we were recommending no funding. That's kind of consistent with years in the past where they've requested funds for that, and we haven't funded that. And then the spade and neuter program, they requested $12,000, recommended full funding of $12,000 for that. That's in line with what we've supported in the past. Buffalo Youth Baseball requested $4,000, we're recommending zero, as with the Pickleball Club. They requested $1,900 and we're recommending zero on that. And we just felt like that was a slippery slope if we started entertaining those type of requests. They're kind of more geared towards the recreation district. We did have a second thought on the Pickleball Club, in that some of their request was to go towards equipment to take care of the court there, which, you know, as you know, is a city-owned property. But we just didn't want to go there at this time. The visitors center, Johnson County Tourism, they requested $15,275 and we're recommending $5,086 going towards them. You know, our understanding is that this is kind of gap financing for them to cover the visitor center for the summer. And then there's going to be a go-forward plan, hopefully, where the JCTA will take care of that facility and run it going forward. Alternative treatment requested $93.54. The committee is recommending $9,000. The mentoring program requested $15,000, and the committee proposed fully funding that at $15,000. Again, nothing with the Pickleball Club. And then the Family Crisis Center requested $15,000, and the committee actually is recommending $17,000 from both the county and the city. And it was to basically help balance some additional expenses since their request was put in. So those are our recommendations.
Chuck, I have a question about the mentoring program, the operational support. Is that to pay rent at Bonner Mountain as well? Or?
There is a portion of that. I want to say their budget is around $30,000, and $6,000 of that was to pay rent at the Bonner Mountain Civic Center.
So it's similar to the college where we're just paying them $6,000 to get back to our joint powers board?
Yeah, similar to that. There was, you know, some discussion about consistency with, you know, Sheridan College. If, you know, if we're essentially approving 1% money to go to Sheridan College that then comes back to the joint powers board, should we cut the mentoring program at $6,000 as well? So, and I don't know where the discussion ended up, but obviously it ended up fully funding the mentoring program.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank the 1% committee for making the decision. Proclamation. Office of the Mayor, City of Buffalo, Wyoming. Whereas America is the land of freedom, preserved and protected willingly and freely by citizen soldiers, and whereas millions who have answered the call to arm have died on the field of battle, and whereas a nation at peace must be reminded of the price of war and the debt owed to those who have died in war, and whereas the red poppy has been designated as a symbol of sacrifice of lives in all wars, and whereas the Veterans of Foreign Wars Auxiliary has pledged to remind America annually of this debt throughout the distribution of the memorial flower. Now, therefore, I, Shane Schrader, Mayor of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, do hereby proclaim the 6th day of May 2022 as Buddy Poppy Day, and ask that all citizens pay tribute to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in the name of freedom by wearing the memorial Buddy Poppy on this day. Sally Ray, Friends Feeding Friends, Race for the Rest of Us event.
Mayor, City Councilman, I'm here representing Friends Feeding Friends. How many of you ever wanted to run a 12K, 5K, 10K, and just couldn't do it? That's where we're coming in. We're having a race fundraiser for the rest of us. 0.5K.
Seems
so
really far.
Here's our map. Oops, I think I did you too. You can see where we're going, not very far. And I have a piece of jewelry, did you want me? So Friends Feeding Friends is endeavors to fund and distribute nourishing food to Johnson County children who might otherwise go hungry. And I have some stats for you to look at. We fill up food bags for children for the weekends for the schools. And board members is Heather Haas, Jennifer Burden, Sally Wright, Kristen Anders, Becky Cotent, and PJ Rosema. I didn't break anything. Is that we are able to put on our fundraiser. And as you can see, it's not a very far one. We're going to start at Crazy Woman Square and end up at Southside Grill. So what we're proposing is that we want to have a stop for people when they get tired for beer and donuts. So if we could ask for an open container, I don't know, thing for just that. And then I don't know if we're going to use it, but we want to at least ask for it. And then maybe a police policemen or something to stand at Main Street to let everybody go by when they first start out. So we're going to have food and prizes and t-shirts. So if you've never run a 5K, 10K race and you always wanted a t-shirt.
I've never ran one. And
sign up. Walk around the block. You can have a t-shirt. You ran 0.5K.
So just a question. This 485M on here does not stand for miles.
Oh, gosh, no. I don't know where she got that, no. No, it's more than that minutes. But unless you stop and have a lot of donuts and beer, it could be stretching out. Oh, I forgot to tell you when. I think it's June 8th. Is that a Saturday? The 4th? Okay. Thank you, Julie. I didn't write it all down. And it's going to be 4 o'clock at night.
So you're asking for...
That's typically my nap time.
So you're asking for a road closure June 4th at 4 till when?
I don't know, whenever it gets done.
How long does it take someone to run that far?
I don't know. Try it and let me know what you want.
I don't see it happening. I can walk quickly, maybe.
Just, I don't know. Probably not even 10 minutes to walk around there.
Do you need a road closure or just escort while they come
across? I just think probably an escort as we go across Main Street because of, we're going back around by the park and I don't think that poses a problem. And we're going to have entertainment at the Southside Grill. So, and
if you're expecting to run a half mile, there's going to be some serious entertainment.
Well, come on. Let's get some entertainment going here.
This also needs a malt beverage permit.
Right.
So you'll have to get with B and the Chief, and we'll get that issued to you.
Okay.
So it actually doesn't even need a road closure, then?
No, we're not going to. I don't think there's going
to
be
that. So we don't need to approve it, then?
I think you need to approve open container.
Yeah.
Where would the open container be through the whole thing?
Well, we're going to have a break over behind here. So over by Krasinski Park somewhere, we'll have a break. So that's where it'll be, and it'll be back behind. Because we're not going to start it at Crazy Woman. Because you don't need a break when you start. Right?
So the open container would only be in one location.
Right.
At Krasinski. And then donuts.
Yeah. I don't know how many donuts, but we're only giving people one beer.
So it's not starting at Crazy Woman?
Pardon me?
It's starting at Crazy Woman.
So they'll run a block and a half, and then you'll give them a beer there, and I said water, like you see in like the Boston.
Right, and then they'll be over at Southside Grill, so it's not very far off.
Did you bring the registration forms?
Oh, shoot, they're on the car. Actually, I think it's going to be online. But it's going to be a really fun time. It's the first time we've tried to do a fundraiser for 2 years. Couldn't do it with COVID, so.
What time would the open container be?
We'll see. It takes about maybe 5 minutes to get over there, 10 minutes, and then probably about 10 minutes. Not that long, because by the time you get by Krasinski Park halfway and then go to Southside Grill, not very far.
Yeah. Chief, any cares or concerns?
No, you said donuts, so I'm in.
Hey, you know, he better get donuts too. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
I think donuts are also have like 3 beers.
4 to 5.
We just want it to be fun, you know, happy fun.
Well, just hearing about it's been fun. Yeah.
But come on down, I'll meet it. Just have never ran that far and always wanted a t-shirt.
So June 4th, 4 to 5, Opie's a Jane, and an escort from Crazy Woman.
Back you guys don't get beer.
Well, actually, just Crazy Woman across that. I don't think we'll need anything back behind. As far as I know, there's not a lot of traffic back there, so. Well, I don't know, your face looks funny. Who do you know that goes back there?
I guess, can I get a motion to have an open container June 4th, Saturday, June 4th, from 4 to 5 at Brzezinski Park.
I'll move to approve an open container request from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on June 4th and a police escort across Main Street at the same time.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? See you at the first annual Homer Simpson run.
That's right. You better be there.
Donuts and beer. Lease agreement. Buffalo Senior Center. We believe this is the same thing. Only instead of a 10-year lease, it's gone to a 25-year lease. So it's the same as before, and I know legal has looked at it, as you talked about this morning. So can I get a motion to approve the lease agreement for the Buffalo Senior Center for a 25-year lease?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Aye. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
What's the annual, or is that a monthly lease?
That's an annual lease. Yes, it's an annual lease. 25-year lease. $10 a year?
$10.
$10 a year.
$10 a year.
What a deal.
It's a break bank.
You're of the right age.
See
you. Mm-hmm. Contract for professional services, engineering design associates for electrical engineering services for portions of North Main Street. Again, that was discussed this morning, and help me out here, Terry.
That's just for the engineering for the lights downtown for the Main Street project.
Yep.
I'm going to approve the contract for professional services, engineering design and associates for electrical engineering services for portions of North Main Street.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
The amount, please.
Second.
The amount. $10,500.
Okay.
Am I reading that?
Okay, thank you.
With, what was the name? Engineering Design Associates?
Yep.
Yep.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a motion to introduce Ordinance 1409 in first reading?
I'm going to approve Ordinance 1409 in first reading.
You want to say what the ordinance is?
This is just the introduction.
This is just the introduction to introduce an ordinance.
I second.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ordinance 1409, first reading, an ordinance creating Chapter 29, Article 3, Section 15. Short-term vacation rental properties, amending Chapter 29, Article 4, Section 2, definitions, and amending Chapter 29, Article 7, Section 2, subparagraph B, use regulations of the Code of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, pertaining to short-term vacation rentals. Can I get a motion to approve Ordinance 1409 on its first reading?
Do we have kind of a rundown?
Wow. You guys. So this is the Planning Commission has come up with this. They've worked diligently on this for the last year or two. There's been a lot of, can we do short-term rentals in this neighborhood, that neighborhood, and so they just thought to clarify some of that. What they've come up with is basically this is going to become an application process. So no matter what zone you are in Buffalo, you will have to come to the city, just like a contractor's license, get a license to do short-term rentals. There will be a fee with that every year. At that time, we'll check where you're at, what zone you're in, to make sure you can do it where you're doing it. The major changes, it's not, because you can never do it in R1, so now they're going to go ahead and allow short-term rentals in R1 with a special use permit if you are on the Hart Street, Main Street, or Fort Street corridors. And again, that's a case-by-case basis. You'd have to come in, apply for a special use. But if you're any other R1 in town, other than that, don't even come asking for one because you're not going to get it, basically. They felt like the corridors, if you have a home, you know, houses on that, you have people renting those, it's kind of a good area for that, you know, coming down Main Street, walking on the Main Street. So
this is talking about like Airbnb.
Correct. Yeah.
This is pretty common in most communities that has a process in place to be able to.
Every city in Wyoming has one now where they have an application process to do it because a lot of it's become, everyone's doing it and it's getting out of control where they're not, you know, they had to come up with some way to regulate it. Because everyone's doing short-term rentals, nobody's doing long-term rentals, and you know that's part of the problem in some of these cities is where do people that live here live if everything's short-term rental. That's one of the things. You can still do it in the B zones. R2 and R3 are a special use permit also on that. It's just to clarify some of that stuff of. So there's not so much, will we do it here, will we not do it there? It's just to kind of put our foot down and say, hey, this is, if you live in any of these, you can. If you don't even come ask us. So, and again, everyone, we want a list of who's doing them. So no matter where you're at, you're gonna have to come to us, get that license, and get approval. So we know where they're at and who's doing them.
So is anyone that's currently do it have to go through this process, or is anyone grandfathered in?
Nobody's grandfathered in into the zones because, like it says, as it reads now, you weren't supposed to be doing them in an R1 regardless. So there shouldn't be anyone kind of grandfathered into the deal. It's just now they're going to have to come do that application process on top of it.
Are you saying that everybody follows the rules?
And that's another reason we're kind of implementing this application process is maybe we can weed out some of the people that aren't doing what they should be doing. So,
Terry, are there any repercussions listed for people that are violating or will violate this ordinance?
So there is. We've drawn up a kind of mock application, and there is a thing, you know, kind of off of if you're falling out of compliance, or we have the right to pull that permit from you. Like I said, if you if the chief has to come to that property several times or something for complaints of some sort, we do have those kind of drafted up to where, that if it becomes a problem, we just would not reissue that permit the next year for you. So it can be taken away, yeah. Yep.
Any more questions for Terry?
Define short, 30 days or less.
Thank you.
Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve Ordinance 1409 on its first reading? Move to approve Ordinance 1409 on the first reading.
Second. Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ordinance 1409 passes on the first reading. Reports, Mr. Kirvin. Mr. Kirvin is not here. Terry is here with the Building Inspector's Office.
Mayor, Council, like I said earlier this morning, we got 16 homes being built, new homes, open permits for new homes going on in the building department right now. Waiting on applications for this month's meeting and planning and zoning, but we'll see what we get by the end of the week.
We're updating City Hall.
We're updating City Hall, yeah.
Any more questions for Terry?
Thanks, Terry.
Chief, set this.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. We had another busy month of April. With that being said, we had 3,005 calls coming into dispatch. Of that, our officers responded to 934 of those calls. We're trying to implement a body-worn camera program. So we, as of Friday, we're running a training camera. We have that for 45 days to get the officers used to it. As you all saw this morning, some advantages to that camera. We had 6 arrests this month. There was a pretty serious call on Sunday at the Buffalo Inn. We had a call for an unconscious subject. By the time Officer McCarter was in route, it was told that their CPR was in progress. When Officer McCarter got there, they were working on him. Brian jumped in with an AED, got him hooked up to an AED, helped out with the CPR, at which time he started asking certain questions. It was a known subject that we have dealt with before. There was another subject inside the room. Brian asked appropriate questions while doing CPR, found out that the subject in question they were working on had ingested fentanyl. So Brian immediately administered one dose of that Narcan that we got about a month ago. Within a minute, his breathing was back to normal. He was awake. His heart was back to normal. So much so that he woke up and was upset that we cut his shirt. So he made a full recovery. And so Brian McCarter saved that man's life with the Narcan that we have issued. So it's just a huge tool that we have. So another big shout out to Northern Wyoming Mental Health and DHF for getting us that ability to protect
ourselves. The second one that's been used?
That is correct. Yes. We conducted a search of that apartment where we did discover and tested with one pill of fentanyl, which is a straight pill of fentanyl. So it's here, and I'm glad that we have the capability to treat that, to protect ourselves and to protect our community. With that being said, while that call was going on, I'd like to introduce, this is Officer Kevin Valentine. Kevin, you stand up for me? Sunday, hosted by Bighorn Baptist, was the first responder appreciation. Officer Valentine here was nominated and received the Officer of the Year Award for his service to the community. So, Kevin, thank you very much for your service. Last but certainly not least, I'd like to introduce, this is Suleiman Raja. Suleiman, can you stand up? Suleiman has been a dispatcher with us for 2 years, and tonight I'd like to recognize Suleiman for his 2 years of service as a dispatcher with the Buffalo Police Department. His last day will be Thursday, May 5th, which is Cinco de Mayo, so he did a great job by allowing us to celebrate with him with some margaritas after work, of course. So with that being said, there's just a little bit I know about Suleiman. He's a longtime resident of Buffalo and is just an extraordinary young man. I first got to know Suleiman as an officer while working the night shift. Me and him would talk at length, 3 o'clock in the morning. And Suleiman was always talking about his community, about how he loved Buffalo. So when Suleiman applied for the dispatch position, it was with the understanding that he could only give a 2-year commitment. Suleiman is actually a law school graduate, but felt the calling, if not the need, to serve his community. Knowing he would only be here for 2 years, that did not stop him from giving it everything he had. Through thick and thin, he was there to answer the call. He was never late, never called out sick, and always willing to work with the extra an extra shift for the good of the department and his coworkers. His calm demeanor and easygoing personality were a perfect fit while dealing with someone's worst day on the other end of that telephone or radio. These are the attributes of a great dispatcher. So, Lyman, we wish you the best in your future endeavors, and thank you for your service to the City of Buffalo and the citizens of Johnson County. Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Congratulations, Kevin. Well deserved, and I'm going to miss hearing your voice. He's actually walking through some bad stuff. When you're 30 miles out in the country, you have to figure out where you're going in a snowstorm, and his voice is very expensive. I'll miss it.
I reflect that sentiment. It was a pleasure.
Larry Jubert.
I'm the mayor of the council. We've been doing a lot of pothole repair. We put up some guardrails so we keep people from going through fences and ditches with reflective tape on them so they can see them at night. Getting the soil pool slide put together. We'll work on that. That's probably about it.
And it's a double slide this time, right?
Yeah.
So they come down and they clump together at the bottom.
I don't know. It's going to be fun to put together.
Who gets to test the slide out first?
Justin.
Any oral or written comments? It's up to you, Mr. Parsons.
thanks to the council for at least hearing me. A few months ago, weeks, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while, I brought in a proposal that the city council look into adjusting the speed limit on your portion of Klondike between the county road and the county road. Kicking that up to 30 miles an hour was my suggestion, seeing no problems in my world. But what I have been is amazed at the people of this town that have contacted me and mentioned about me contacting the speed limit of 30. The positive attitude that I've been getting through the public has astounded me, which tells me two things. Number one, they're in favor of it. But number two, they're listening to these meetings, or somebody is paying attention, because the people that talk to me are not here. So either somebody's doing some talking or they're paying attention to your meetings, which impresses me. I'm surprised. Anyway, the statutes, the Wyoming state statutes, are very clear about this county and the city about setting speed limits. I presented this program to the county commissioners, and in my opinion was given a little bit of runaround about statutes not working, got to do this, got to do studies, we got to have this person do this, and I'm not going to pay for it. And if you read the statutes, they're very clearly you have the authority to go within the state superintendent's recommendation with or without that. You don't need a study, you don't need a lot of stuff. So in my opinion, I got to run around. But they had one good excuse of why they couldn't or shouldn't. And that is because if the city council was not going to do their part, then the county was not going to do their side. The only feasible excuse that I would really have to accept from that letter that they sent me. The 30 mile an hour speed limit on Klondike, in my opinion, is good and is feasible act for the people and for the traffic of Buffalo. So I wanted to let you know that you have a positive, there is a positive out there from the public that come talk to me about it. So I need to see some bad of why nots. So it's not a bad deal. Thank you.
I just have one question. Did any of those people that had a positive response to it, did they actually live on Klondike?
That's a great question, and I don't think so. So that might be a key.
I did have several residents reach out to me that live on that street that were concerned about
and
that, bumping that up.
Those I did not have. I can't say that they lived there. True statement.
Gotcha. And I think the concern, from what I understood, was you're right when we get to the city road, because the county has it from the what is that?
YMCA up to the top of the hill.
There's not residential on both sides, or even on one side. So when you get up to where we're at, there's both sides. You got back homes, front homes. You get a little further, you got front homes. So you're right in the middle of the residential neighborhoods. And you also have kids walking from school across Upper Clear Creek. So there was concern of putting that through there, even though that area is the county's. But that's from what I understood was. And also going from 20 to 30 for, what is that, four blocks, that saves you about 18 seconds?
Time, I have no idea. What it does is you go from 20 to 40 when you hit the county road out there at the end of Klondike, at the end of the city street. You also, if you're coming the other direction, go to 40 to 20.
Right.
So that would allow, actually, 30 would actually give a deceleration system coming in there. It doesn't have to be that long, but I agree there. The argument of residential on both sides, many cities in this state are 30 miles an hour within the city limits.
Yeah.
All residential streets. So, given, but...
Have we always been 20?
I mean, always been 20 for, gosh, 40, help me out, 40,
and,
40 yeah, 47 years. It's always been 20.
And
it's not a big deal.
I can think back to one change council made almost 8 years ago that was where the cement turned into French Creek, right in front of Eagle Summit, where there is no homes on either side of the road. And that had been 20 all the way up to that 40.
Yeah.
And we increased that to 30, but there was all those homes at Eagle Summit are further up.
Homes in my opinion, homes on the side of a road, they're everywhere. So, thank you.
And I think if you want to chit chat with Chief. I think he held up his hand.
Yeah, love that.
Any other?
Sorry.
No, you're.
So, Councilman, you know, I agree. I received many phone calls as well with the concern. So I sat down shortly after we had this discussion and looked at some key points. That is all residential, starting from Fullerton Avenue down to the bridge. Several of those intersecting streets, Klondike Drive, Erie, Apache, Sesame, that's a hill. It's a terrible blind curve. People are coming from 40, gas to 30. Does that mean, we all know, does 20 mean 20? No, right? So now we have people blowing through there at 35, 40 miles an hour over a blind hill that we have kids, you know, people that own the house. And I received the same phone calls as you did. We have several schools, Meadowlark, Cloud Peak, Clear Creek, heavily traveled area for kids walking and riding their bikes, especially in the spring and summer and fall months, right? Then we have the Clear Creek Trail. We have the City Park, Buffalo Ballpark, YMCA, City Pool, limited sidewalks. There's actually a private daycare on Klondike. So now you have to worry about letting your kids, that somebody's watching somebody else's kids, they have to worry about people driving at 40 miles an hour when they hit that hill. The ironic thing is, shortly after this was proposed, that very same section, literally days later, we had to shut that hill down because of the weather. I don't know if you remember, but that thing turned into a sheet of ice. So we literally had to shut that down. Can you imagine coming down that hill at 40 miles an hour and hitting that hill covered in ice and snow? I looked it up and actually drove it. That's 3/4 mile. The proposed change would save the commuter approximately 20 seconds in drive time. 20 seconds. Everything is... in this world is go, 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 go. We live in Buffalo because it's slow, slow, slow. That's why I came here. And I'm coming from a city, right? So I understand, but I'm the one that's saying, no, we need to slow things down. We have a huge tourist population that comes in here through the summer and fall months. They don't know the area. They're coming down that hill. They're out hunting. They don't know what's up there. Now they're coming into town. So then my thing is, well, that same argument could be said for any street, North Smith, right? North Burritt, Sesame, all those streets are considered thoroughfares through town. So does that mean we have people buzzing around at 40 miles an hour through town and then they hit Main Street? So again, my officers also have discretion. We're not sitting at the bottom of Klondike running traffic and we're pulling people over for 21 miles over and handing out tickets. So I understand what you're saying. That just concerns me. I think that the risk way out weighs the reward for 20 seconds and saving it a commute. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So thank you.
Is there time for a few more words?
Yep.
You. Well, I just wanted to take the opportunity to express my gratitude and appreciation for all of you. I've been dispatched for 2 years. That's enough time to see a lot of things. You wouldn't think, but it is. I saw times where it got a little dark, where there was only 4 of us answering 911 calls for the county, talking to the ambulance, talking to Highway Patrol, both the Sheriff's Office and the Police Department. And you wouldn't think 4 would be that little, but when you're pulling 6 12-hour shifts a few weeks in a row, it has its toll on you. But I've had also the time to see the light. You guys, through all of your work, which I'm grateful for, we now have a full dispatch. And I get to leave knowing that my coworkers can come to work and live a good life. Because before it was taxing on personal lives. All of us had our own personal lives taxed. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to give the voice to my coworkers and thank you publicly for what you've done to help my coworkers and the police department. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any quick updates?
I think we've been updated.
What?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Brent Bennett, Nelson Engineering. Just a quick couple updates on the construction project. The Bozeman project is moving along there, the intersection of Picklemeyer there. So they've you know, gone up Bozeman. They got just that corner to go around, which turns into Foot Street there. So they're kind of on the last block and a half, I guess, of that street, and then they'll go back and start working on services and stuff. So they're moving along. They're, you know, obviously it's slow going with all the rock and everything that they have to dig through as they go, but they're making progress. Flatiron Project, the contractor updated their schedule with me, and so this week they're looking to finish the tie-in for the storm drain. They were waiting on their locate clears. I seen the locator in question was out there this evening when I drove by when I was out there working on getting that. So their tentative plan is to work on getting the intersection of Flagstaff and Flatiron, get that storm connected in there. They also had to wait for the CenturyLink Spectrum folks to get their stuff done. They finished that up last week, so Friday of last week they made their last tie-ins to abandon the utilities that were in the way. So that's good. So they're that contractor is out of there now, so they don't have a conflict to deal with them. In the upcoming weeks, so next week, starting kind of the 9th, they're hoping to have that tie-in done. They'll start looking to work on some of the water services that are need to be extended out of the new roadway section and fire hydrants. And then once they get that done, kind of that week, tentatively the week of the 16th going into the 23rd, they'll start prepping the road, starting at the highway end. And the concrete guys are tentatively scheduled to start on the 23rd this month with installing, pouring the new concrete road and curb and gutter and stuff. Granted, being, you know, that we have rain in the schedule for on and off throughout, there could be a couple weather delays in there. We'll just have to see how that goes and play that as it goes, but that's tentatively their schedule. So hopefully this month we'll start seeing new road. And if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to attempt to field them.
Did you mention betterment? Is there still betterment?
There's still a couple items. We still have some crosswalks that they got to complete on Fetterman. And then there's just a couple cleanup items that we're working on that they still got to complete. Basically, the holdup there was the concrete guy. We need the concrete contractor to get back in town, so they'll be back in this.
That's all you've done this summer.
Yeah.
Yep. Is the crosswalks are going to get re-poured, dyed red?
Yes.
Red concrete?
Yes. Not stained. It will be red concrete delivered, and that'll go. There'll be one at the YMCA on both sides, like in the front there, connecting that sidewalk, and then down by the park. That's where the crosswalks.
Thanks, Brent.
Announcements. Planning and Zoning Board meeting May 24th at 1 p.m. City Council meeting May 17th at 5 p.m. City offices will be closed May 30th in celebration of Memorial Day. And just a reminder that citywide cleanup starts the 18th of that week. Can I get an approval of the bills as presented?
Move to approve the bills as presented.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.